Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because we're still delving in and reviewing the book of 2 Kings. And now I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open while we study. Your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and you have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that particular purpose. Now, before I get started, I want to personally, as I always do, give thanks to you, those of you especially that have given me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour and every hour should be, are we standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? My precious brothers and sisters, God said through King Solomon, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that does it, these things shall never be moved. That is taken from Psalms chapter 15, verse 5. My precious brothers and sisters, you want to be steadfast and immovable? Then you follow what God told King Solomon. God told King Solomon again, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And that's taken from Ezekiel. And that's Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. The promise is that there will only be one that we will be held accountable to. And to this day, my brothers and sisters, that one is Jesus the Christ. And again, God said through King David, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Again, that's taken from Psalms 119, verse 130. So you want light in your life? Then you must follow God's word. So the question is for this hour, and it will always be, during this program, Are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Okay, now before we get started, again, I would like to reiterate, because I think this is so necessary, we must be reminded. We must rehearse this, my brothers and sisters, exercising it, practicing it, training, drilling, that you know the Bible is written in code. That means it's mysterious. It's written in secrets and parables, in prophecies and proverbs, in paradoxes, and in riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here tonight, to study and learn together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verse 24 through 27. 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 24 through 27. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, Mesa, king of Moab, destroyed. Now, we know through the annals of the kings and of Chronicles and of Samuel that there's been strife between the people of Israel and even with themselves. They're different kings of Judah, kings of Israel. Anyway, in this instance, we're looking at the storyline where Mesa, king of Moab, is destroyed. And we're going to see what happened. And this is what verse 23 through 27 says. It says, I should say verse 24. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smoting the Moabites, even to their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in this one place left they the stones thereof. Howbeit, the slingers went about it and smote it anyway. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew sword to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own country. So you can see what has happened in this instance, that Moab went against the laws of God and Israel destroyed Moab. Now, let's go to the book of Revelations. We're going to go to the book of Revelations. We're going to look at Revelations chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Revelations chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And we're going to see a similar occurrence. And this here is more dynamic because, see, we're talking about God and Satan and the war that he destroyed Satan. Listen to what Revelations chapter 12, verse 7 through 10 says. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. My precious brothers and sisters, that is what I'm comparing it to. And you can see that in the end, this is what's going to happen because there was disobedience against God. And the ultimate is that God is going to destroy Satan. All right, let's turn back to 2 Kings. We're going to look this time at chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And I want you to keep this in mind as I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is alone.
Naaman was an important soldier in Damascus, but he got a terrible skin disease called leprosy. People who had leprosy were not allowed to come close to other people. They had to live in leper's towns. Naaman's wife had a little servant girl from Israel who said,
"I wish my master could meet Elisha the prophet. He would heal him."
So Naaman went to Israel to find Elisha.
"Tell him to wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and he'll be healed."
The Jordan River. Wash 7 times in the Jordan.
Naaman walked away angry. What Elisha told him to do seemed silly.
"He didn't even come out to talk to me himself. I thought Elisha would call on the Lord or wave his hand over me and heal the disease. Our rivers in Damascus are all better than the Jordan."
So Naaman prepared to return to Damascus. But his servant pleaded with him.
"Sir, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Doesn't it make more sense to just do what he said?"
So even though Naaman was embarrassed, he went down to the river to wash himself as Elisha had instructed. After Naaman finished washing for the 7th time, guess what happened? His leprosy disappeared.
"Now I know there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go on with the instruction. We're now looking at 2 Kings 4, verse 1 through 7. And as I read the text to you, what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. This is what is being highlighted: the miracle of the widow's pot of oil. That's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is what the text says. "Now there cried a certain woman of the thieves of the sons of the prophets, of the wives of the sons of the prophets, unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then Elisha said, Go, borrow 3 vessels abroad of all the neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and thou shalt live, and thy children of the rest. My brothers and sisters, this is a miracle that Elisha performed for the woman. Now let's go to John chapter 2, and we're going to read similar. This is the complement in the New Testament, where John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, is going to tell us about how Jesus the Christ poured the water into these vessels and made them wine at the bequest of his mother. Listen to what John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11 says. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he asks, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 foreskins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw now out, and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set good wine, and when men have well drunk, then he puts the worst. But thou hast kept the good until now. This beginnings of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So the comparison is, my brothers and sisters, that this miracle of the pot of oil is similar to the miracle of the pot of water turned into wine. And now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 17. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. The instruction is the Shunammite's son. That's the instruction. And listen to what the Bible says about it. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto, and she said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto me, that you're a handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son that at that season that Elisha said that she would, according to the time of life. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to again see how it occurred with the New Testament in Zechariah and Elizabeth's case. We're going to see how they were told that they, even in their old age, would bear a child. This is what Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And now what we're going to do is continue to verse 11 through 13. Listen to what the completed thought is here. It says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And there shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, what this is telling us is that today we have Jesus Christ, whom we should again respond to as this miracle has occurred in being childless with Mary, the Blessed Virgin, and giving birth to the Savior of the world. That's the connection, the ultimate connection. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 2 Kings. We're looking at chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 42 through verse 44 in 2 Kings. And what I want you to do, I see we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instructions.
Into, but I'm breaking into somebody's prayer saying, Lord, why do I keep going through the same things over and over again? I go to church now, I tithe now, I shout now, I leap now, and the Lord sent me here to tell you it's no problem with your sentence, the problem is with your default. Until you change your default, you will always go back to being who you were before, because you have never changed your mind. The devil can't do just anything to you. People can't do just anything to you. Life can't do just anything to you. I don't care how little you are, there is nothing as powerful as a change. Lock somebody and tell them, I changed my mind. As long as you're programmed with what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have, you will never get up. But I dare you to go into your phone booth like Clark Kent and spin around and come out Superman and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm getting ready to change my default setting. I will not die crackhead. I will not let you abuse me. I will not say there is nothing as powerful. The prodigal son was in the hog pen, surrounded by the swine, about to eat that the pigs ate. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't change anything else. All he did was change his mind. The pigs couldn't hold him. The pen couldn't hold him. The disgrace couldn't hold him. The embarrassment couldn't hold him. I dare you to change your...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, my precious brothers and sisters. A quick note, we're going through 2 Kings, and of course, we're chronicling those incidences and stories that occurred during various characters' experiences, and right now we're in Elisha's experiences, and this is what we're going to learn about chapter 4, verse 42 through 44, this is what I want you to keep in mind, the feeding of the 100 men. This is what Elijah did. And it's 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42 through 44. And this is what it says. It says, "And there came a man from Baal Shelsah and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his surveyor said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. So that was one of the miracles that Elisha performed. And now let's turn our New Testament. Let's turn to our complement, the New Testament. We're going to look at the chapter 9 in the New Testament, chapter 9, verse 12 through 17. And we're going to see how Jesus fed the 4,000. And this is what it says. "And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and countries round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a deserted place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, what have we more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people? For there were about 5,000 men. And he said unto them, make them sit down by the 50s in a company. And they did so. And then all sat down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained them 12 baskets. And it came to pass." So we got from that is that Jesus will provide. That is the point that's in question, my brothers and sisters. If you are following Jesus Christ, providence is yours. That's the key. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to 2 Kings, and we're going to look at verse 5, this chapter 5 in 2 Kings. And in chapter 5, we're going to read several verses, and we're going to look at this as the instruction. And we already had a commercial identifying what happened to Nahum with his leprosy. Now we're going to read about it in the scripture exclusively. Elisha cures Nahum of leprosy. And this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Verse 9 continues the thought. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Verse 10 continues, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And verse 14 completes the thought. "Then went he down and dipped in himself 7 times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed." My precious brothers and sisters, the point is to be obedient. Now let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we're going to read similarly what happened when there was obedience concerning Lazarus. Listen to what John chapter 11, verse 1 says. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha." Verse 4 continues, "When Jesus heard that he was sick, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Verse 14 continues. Verse 14 says this, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Verse 43 continues the thought. verse 43 says, and when he thus had spoken, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 completes the thought. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. The point is that because there was obedience, there was salvation. And in this instance, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 25 through verse 27. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25 through verse 27. And this is the instruction, my precious brothers and sisters, that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, okay? This is the text, the instruction. Gehazi lied and was cursed. That should give us good example that lying is an abomination of God. And in this instance, Gehazi was cursed. Listen to what 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27 through 25 through 27 says. It says, but he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So you can see that Gehazi was cursed because he lied to the prophet. Now let's go to the book of Acts. We're going to go to the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5, to the book of Acts, chapter 5, and we're going to see what Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 tells us similarly what happens when you lie to God. This is critical, my precious brothers and sisters, and this is what chapter 5 tells us, verse 1 through 5. It says, and I see that we're close to the next break, so why don't we take that break, and then after the break, we'll continue with the lesson.
Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is alone. Happiness is new creation, Jesus and me, in close relation, having a heart, it is salvation, happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start, I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart.
Pencil's Tale. Once upon a time, an old pencil maker took his newest pencil aside just before he was about to pack him into a box. Imagining the little fellow as a person, he recalled a few things about the pencil. There are five things you need to know, he said to his pencil. Before I send you out into the world, always remember these five things. Never forget them. And you will become the best pencil you can be. The first thing is to remember that you will be able to do many great things, but only if you put yourself in someone else's hands. From time to time, you will experience a painful sharpening, but remember that this will make you a better pencil. Also, keep in mind that you will be able to correct any mistakes you might make along the way. And the most important part of you is what's on the inside. And remember this as well. Upon every surface that you are used, you must leave your mark. No matter what else happens, you must continue to write. It seemed the pencil listened to him and promised he would remember these five things so that he could live his life with heart and purpose. You see, in life, in your life, put yourself in someone else's hand. Embrace challenges for growth. Learn from mistakes. Value inner qualities. And leave a positive mark on the world. And you too can become the best pencil there is. This was The Pencil's Tale.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this instruction with what happened to the lie, and it was cursed, and we know that lying is an abomination of God. And those who lie, the book of Revelation tells us, would not enter into the kingdom of God. But anyway, let us look at our comparative text. We're at Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Listen to what happened in this case of a lie. But a certain man named Ananias, Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Lying is an abomination of God. Even if you are looking at me and lying, it's an abomination against the laws of God. Verse 5 says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell dead. That was the curse upon him, death immediately, and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. My precious brothers and sisters, if it were not for Jesus Christ and the mercy and grace of God and repentance, if we were to lie and die instantly, there would be no one on the face of this earth. Listen to what verse 6 says. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the same space of 3 hours afterward when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she dead straightway up at her feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. My precious brothers and sisters, lying is critical. And that is something that we so easily do. We must thank God for mercy and grace and repent as often as we do because of the lies that we tell on a regular basis. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back the Bible sources with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I give you the text or read the text to you. The miracle of the axe head. This is telling us again of the exploits of Elisha. Elisha performed quite a few miracles that are written in the book of Kings. Listen to what he said about or the Bible says about the miracle of the axe head. This is chapter 6 of 2 Kings, verse 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And Elisha answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go with thee. So they went, so he went with him. And they, when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. That was the miracle that was performed in this instance that I want you to keep in mind. Now what we're going to do, turn with me to the New Testament complement, John chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 7, John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, and we're going to see similarly how Jesus performed this miracle. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought into the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him, How is it that he received his sight? And he said unto them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and did see. Therefore some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he that hath opened thy eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. Now you can read the rest of this yourself. The point is the miracle that was done by Jesus Christ, in this instance, proving the glory of God. And that is the key, that we should always look to God, our refuge, in any time of need. That is more than significant. That is the only way that we're going to live this life, this side of eternity, with less impact, I'll say. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to 2 Kings chapter 6, We're going to look at verse 15 through verse 17, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. What I want you to do is I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. Okay, this is the instruction. The servant of Elisha sees deliverance. And this is what chapter 6, verse 15 through 17 says. I see we're at the break, the final break of this evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
Happiness is to know the Savior living your life. Within his favor, having a change in my behavior, happiness is alone. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me, in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is alone. Real joy. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord.
After you've been through all that hell has to throw at you, after you have survived the worst possible assault on your faith and your mind and your sanity, after people have left you, after circumstances have drained you of your human energy, there remains a promise in the Word of God. And this is not Peter's prediction. This is God's promise. He said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. The Greek word is oume. They might, but I won't. Never, no, never. When will I withdraw my love from you? Never, no, never. When will I change my mind about you? Never, no, never. When will I walk away and give up on the plans I made for your life? Never, no, never. Shout if you got a God who says never means never. When God says never, he means never. There's nothing you can do about it, devil. I got a living hope. Never. Never. People may change their mind about my potential, but he never will. And this is a different level of hope. This is not the kind of hope, you know, that plastic hope, that plastic purple hope, like these little plastic purple Easter eggs that you see. They're bright and pretty, but they're plastic and they're hollow. But my hope is built on nothing less. Y'all don't know any hymns? Your mom didn't take you to church. My hope is built on nothing less. So my hope, I might as well show them, give me the basket. My hope is not hollow. My hope is not empty. My hope is not plastic. My hope is not circumstantial. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says that I hope in the glory of God. That's different than hoping in the praises of men. That's different in hoping in the kindness of life or the peaceability of circumstances. My hope, watch this, is hard-boiled. My hope has been through the fire. My hope has been through hell. My hope has been disappointed and still found a way to bounce back. And watch this, even if it cracks on the surface, it's still good on the inside. I got a living hope.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's look at this instruction, this last instruction. It is 2 Kings, and it is chapter 6, and it's verse 15 through 17 for tonight's lesson. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, as I read just before the break, the servant of Elisha sees deliverance. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, because the promise is that if you're faithful unto death, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And he that is faithful unto death shall receive a crown of life. There's so many instances that Jesus is speaking, the Spirit to the church is speaking. Blessed is he that endures forever, the same shall receive a crown of life. Written in the book of James, we are reminded that if you believe, you shall receive and achieve. Listen to what Elisha's servant saw because he believed. In chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Elijah answered him, saying, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither in this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So this is the key, that the servant of Elisha, because he believed Elisha, Elisha prayed and he saw the salvation of God. Now let's go to John chapter 17, and we're going to read some verses in John chapter 17 that are so significant. The reason I say that they're so significant, my brothers and sisters, is because they tell us exactly what we shall receive because we follow Jesus Christ. Listen to what John chapter 17, verse 1 says. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he had sent. My precious brothers and sisters, that is the knowledge of eternal life. It sounds simple, but it is to know God and to know Jesus Christ, his Son. And I also add, for your reception, to know and to receive the Holy Ghost. This is critical to eternal life. And this is why when you hear people say that in my heart of hearts I know, that is not what the Bible is telling us. When you hear people say, I know that I know that I know that I know, that is not what the Bible is telling us. Listen to what the Bible is telling us in 1 John chapter 2. It tells us, hereby do we know that we know God, if we keep his commandments. If we say we know God and we do not keep his commandments, we are liars and the truth is not in us. So that is the key to everlasting life, my precious brothers and sisters, to keep God's commandments. And that's key. Now let's go continue to what Jesus is asking God to reveal to us that believe. We're looking at verse 15. And verse 16, it says, Jesus says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That reminds me of what David said in Psalms 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod and staff, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ, who is considered in Scripture the stem and rod of Jesse and the root and of David and the bright and morning star. And that staff is the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus Christ says, I will leave you not comfortless. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter who will guide you in all truth, teach you all things of God, and give you the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus is praying to the Father for us. And of course, when Jesus prays to the Father for us, we shall receive it if we obey his commandments. Listen to what verse 21 through 23 concludes. It says, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and hast loved me. My brothers and sisters, the indwelling is critical to our salvation. Knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, having them reside within you. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 23, that if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode in you. That is critical to our salvation, my brothers and sisters. Listen to the conclusion of what Jesus asked the Father that we should receive if we are faithful. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. My brothers and sisters, it is critical that we do what God and Jesus Christ tells us to do so that we will receive what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, when he says that let your heart not be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye be me also. My brothers and sisters, being servants of Jesus Christ, there is deliverance. And that's the key. Now, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And as we complete this lesson, the host and I, as we sign off, we would like to thank you always, as we are doing right now. And we bless you for your participation and encouragement. And as I part, I say, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
Happiness is to know the Savior living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is new creation, Jesus and me, in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops fall.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.